from the time Helen brought that word, it's a very simple point, we all know. The Lord just said, remember, blind Bartimaeus threw off his robe as he came to Jesus. And we throw off everything of ourselves, and we come to Jesus. And that's it.
Thank you, Audrey. Welcome this morning. Good to see you all. Turn to people around you, just say, good to see you as well. Anyway, welcome to everybody, and may you know God's presence more than ever in this year ahead. May you know his favour in your life. May you know his provision and his salvation increasingly working through your life as he draws you to himself. Amen?
Amen.
So welcome if you're a visitor. My name is Martin, and I'm one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to speak this morning. And Rod and Marianne are visitors, really, but Rod and Marianne, you know, when I was first became a Christian, I got a Christian in East Yorkshire, I moved to Cambridge, and I wound up in their house group in Cambridge, all those many years ago, and then met Lorna, got married, we stayed with that group, Rod and Marianne moved on, and then we tracked them down when we moved here, we found they were coming to a church called High Street in Islam, and we followed them here. I became leader here, and they're now moving on. They're going to Burton-on-Trent. They're going to take up a leadership role in ministry, and I'd just like to honour them for what they've done in my life and for what they've done in our life as a church over the years. Bless you.
We love you.
Anyway, there's opportunity to say that you love them back. That's great, isn't it? So they've been part of us, but they've also been part of our ministry, broader ministry over more recent years. Wow, I've got a kind of, I don't know, strange sermon. And but it's, God's kind of been confirming things, which is wonderful. And you'll know well, I thought I was going to preach on this actually, but I'm going to preach on something slightly different. So I've got two bits that appear to be disparate and separate, but they're not. And trusting God, they're not. And this is around the call of Elisha. Yeah, so he's kind of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, that kind of two areas. And it's the strange things that happen. So Elisha is ploughing his land. And Elijah comes up to him and puts his cloak on him. Yeah, and he kind of anoints him as there is going to be a kind of prophetic voice to follow Elijah. And later on, Elisha is now the servant, really, of Elijah. And again, this idea that the cloak that was brought just a moment ago comes up. And so it says this: as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the banks of the Jordan. And when he took the cloak that was had fallen from him and struck the water with him. So he had a cloak put on him by Elijah. Then when Elijah went to heaven, the cloak fell to the ground. He picked it up. Strange. So what we have here is God's calling on his life as the cloak's put on him. And then his decision later on to pick that up. I believe in the church we have many people called, but few that have picked up God's cloak for them. Amen? Understand the idea? So sometimes we're kind of saying, God, what is it you want me to do? That's great. But sometimes God said, and our job isn't just to wait to see what will happen, but sometimes to go, this is from God. I'm going to pick it up and take that on. Hallelujah. So we've had ministry this morning in worship. Sometimes, as Audrey mentioned, as Colin mentioned, we need to leave one cloak behind and we need to pick up another one. And Elisha did that. He left behind his ploughing oxen. In a very deliberate way, they were killed and burned. And then later on, as he follows Elijah, it wasn't an easy journey. Elijah kept saying to him, go back, go back, go back. But he persisted in following Elijah and then took hold of a new cloak. The cloak that had been given to him, he took hold of it and said, this is where I will stand. I will put this to the use that God's called me to. So in this new year, my prayer is that we would know the calling of God and we would desire to pick that up and walk with it in the service of our glorious King. Amen. 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 Okay. So that's part of it. So what I really want to do is that's the context. And I want to go on to look at Ephesians. So this is Ephesians 3. And it's interesting because this passage that I was really drawn to is in part a verse that's used a lot in our church. I don't know the history, but I was drawn to this passage, and then I realised it's kind of the strapline for our church. You might recognise it. I don't know if strapline is a very biblical phrase. So it's Ephesians 3. 8 to 20. And I'm going to kind of preach in a different way, really. This passage is so rich. So rich. There's so much in it. And I've got kind of six chunks. I've divided this up into six chunks. And I'm going to go through it. Can we pray? Father God, I thank you that you're alive. Thank you, you are with us. Thank you, you're stirring us by your Spirit. Lord, our desire is to have more of you, to know the depth of your love and the boundless grace that we encounter. Lord, might we pick up what you've given us. Might we walk in your abundant grace and bring glory to heaven. Amen. 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 So, this is, I'm going to read some of this stuff, but it's followed on the PowerPoints really. So the first passage is this. It starts on verse 8, and it says, although, this is Paul, he's writing to this church, and although I am less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Boundless riches of Christ. Wow. And I love this bit. It says here, although I am less than the least of the Lord's people. Wow. I feel like that. Why on earth that God would favour me? And actually, you've got to think the same. Why would God favour you? Why would God favour me? I am less than the least of God's people. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. For me, grace, the grace that was given to me, he's going to preach the boundless riches of Christ. Boundless means that there is no limit to the riches of Christ. And for me, this is grace has come into my life. I'm going to let grace flow out of me. Grace flowing out of me. And Paul speaking here, he says, I've been saved by grace. There's nothing in myself that makes me stand here, but I've been saved by grace. It's going to flow out of me that people might know the riches of Christ that come to them, even though they are the least. We're all the least. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Do you know there's a, over and over again, it writes in the scriptures, particularly in Galatians, that people have been saved by grace, but then turn to the law. They become legalistic. They draw boundaries and limits around what God is and who he's able to touch and how he's able to work in our lives. And I sense that occasionally in my own spirit. Lord, let me be a pipeline for the grace of God flowing in and through my life and touching others. Amen?
Amen.
The boundless riches of Christ. Wow. I don't know if people in your life read bits to you from Christian novels. Do other people that you're sharing life with read bits to you from Christian novels? Amen. Do you find it encouraging?
Amen.
What I kind of find is... I'm kind of... I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm... I'm kind of fitting a radio in a car or digging up my petunias. Not that I've got any, but a lot of comes out to me with a great bit from a book that she's been really encouraged by. She goes, listen to this! And do you know what? I'm not always in a great place to receive it. Do you understand that? And I kind of feel really bad. I feel a bit like a non-Christian. Do you understand? So she's telling me this kind of amazing miracle stuff, really, that's because she's reading this book. So my reaction is, just hold this book, love. And I'm thinking, oh, do you know, I just kind of... Anybody else the same?
Yeah.
Do you feel really bad?
Yeah.
That's really bad. So, Lord, in this new year... it's kind of funny, but not funny, isn't it? You understand? May I be a channel for your boundless riches of Christ. Lord, may I have an appetite for you. Might I pick up the things that you've given me and walk with them. Amen. Wow. So, although I am less than the least of the Lord's people, the grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of the mystery from ages past that was kept hidden in God who created all things. Wow, wow, wow. So yesterday we did tea for free. Some of you guys were there. And I met this older lady. I don't know, compared to some of you, she's kind of young, 82. And she's 82. And she kind of been kind of around church for all her life. And kind of was talking about, I'd never feel close to God. I don't know if God loves me. My husband was a priest, but I feel more and more distant from God. And the opportunity to explain to her the boundless riches of Christ that are hers. 82. I pray she didn't go away just thinking that was a nice man who had a nice talk with me, but as I pray for the Spirit of God might set alive in her heart after 82 years of religion, really, life in the Spirit and knowing Christ. Amen. Okay, so verse 10. His intent was that now, say that to me again, was that now, through the church. This is an amazing thing. What the Bible has to say about the church is astonishing. You understand that? It's astonishing on multiple levels. What God has to say, what the writers have to say as they give God's heart in this letter is astonishing. Our view of church. Now, I don't know if we always get this right. As a leadership, we're kind of protective of this. We kind of think, actually, church is where it's at. You know, God's view of church is so important. It's incredible. But I don't know if we see it. We kind of see Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings. At spiritual level, this is astonishing stuff. And he says this, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. Wow. So, is this big? His intent was that now, this is kind of, I think it's still now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, so the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So what God's doing and his character and his nature and his intent for the whole of creation will be spoken through the church. Wow. If I don't think about this stuff properly, if I don't process this in a biblical way, I kind of think the church is over here and we're watching what God's going to do. Do you understand that? But actually, what God's going to do is going to work through his church to display his glory and his wisdom to a world and to the powers and authorities of this world. It's astonishing. We need to lift our eyes, Marilyn, don't we? We need to lift our eyes. Wow. Let me read that again. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his internal purposes that he accomplished in Christ our Lord. Wow. He's going to make it known through the church. Do you want to be part of that this new year? This new year. His intent was that now, through the church, through you and through me, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, through me, through you. Lord Jesus, would you use us? Would you allow me to pick up that you've called me to and to walk in that so you might display your works and your wisdom through me as part of your church? Do I feel well equipped? But do I need grace? Yes. Do I need the power of his spirit? Yes. Amen. His intent was that now. I am a privileged person to be alive, living here, coming to this church in 2019. As God calls us to build a new church and we see God drawing it to completion. I am privileged and by grace that I'm here and that you're here. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Lord, I pray that that new building, on one level it's a building, but on another level it's what God is doing through his church and what his plans are on the earth, that he might use it and speak through a group of people that worship together in a building, and that he might display his wisdom to the powers and authorities of this world. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would manifest your presence through your spirit and that you might bring change to this place. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We approach him with freedom and confidence. Wow. I just, Richard Lidington is in the front row here. We did a T3 yesterday. And he was approached by the Jehovah's Witnesses and he engaged them in conversation for ages.
He got nowhere.
And I kind of circled every now and again, listening, praying. And at the end of it, I said, Richard, you know, we did discuss, what are you trying to sell me? Yeah? I feel like, this is a terrible analogy, I feel like God has given me a palace. Yeah? And there's somebody's knocking on my door saying, forget the palace, here is a hole in the ground you can live in. Come on. Do you understand? Because this, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. None of that comes from the law. It's all about what Jesus has done as our perfect sacrifice that will enable us to enter eternity with him freely. Freedom and confidence. One of the things that strikes me about little kids, and we have two little girls, and one of the things they like to do is to dress up. Anybody here like to dress up? All the hands are down. And when I kind of come in from wherever I've been, and there'll be one of them wearing a kind of play outfit thing. So I say to them, "You look gorgeous." And they went, "Ooh." And I'd say, "Is it Snow White?" And they said, "No, Cinderella." As if I should know these things. But actually, it's quite plain to me. This is not Cinderella. It's quite plain to me. This is Ellie with a dress on. But actually, when she's put that on, she has supreme confidence that she now is Cinderella. And all she needs is a handsome prince. And who has just knocked on the door? When I open it, she's very disappointed. In him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Now, I'm not Cinderella, and neither are you, but he knows me, he knows my name, and his joy is when I enter his presence. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of these confident assertions in this passage are countered by lies of the enemy. Everyone. We're told it's not by grace. You'll sense that sometimes. You'll sense there is not God's intention to work through the church at all. But the church is something that I might go to every now and again if I feel like it. But I don't really need to be kind of part of what he's doing as a body. You'll sense that. It's not true. It's a lie of the devil. We might feel as though we have to, we can never approach God because of who we are and what we are and what we've done. It's a lie of the devil. This is the truth of Scripture. In him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Wow. Wow. Don't be discouraged. We can revel in discouragement, I think. But we need to lift our heads and see what God's doing, what God's about. I've been in dialogue with somebody who's hugely discouraged this week in long phone calls. But just confident, I said, God has got this under control. God is working in this situation. Do not be discouraged. Look to him. When you're in it, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? And when you're in it, you wonder what God's doing. When you're in it, you think kind of you've been let down by people and situations. But God is in control. Look to him. And then verse 14. For this reason, because of the grace that God's given to me, because of the confidence that I can enter his throne, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen. So for this reason, I kneel before the Father. You might recognize some of these words. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. I loved George's preach last week. Wasn't that tremendous? And I kind of knew he didn't speak in tongues. And then from the pulpit, he kind of explains that he was worshipping one day and this stuff happened. I was thinking, whoa, because when he got up and he said, I'm gonna preach on speaking in tongues, I thought, hey, George, you don't speak in tongues. And I was sat here thinking, what on earth is he going to say? But it was wonderful. And my prayer and the prayer here and the longing of God is that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being. I would say that if he's writing to the church in Ephesus, praying for them that they might be strengthened in their inner being by the work of the Spirit, that is something that we need. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. For this reason, I pray he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The work of the Holy Spirit. This year ahead, hunger and thirst for more of him, that he might strengthen you, so you might know where your strength comes from in your inner being by the work of the Spirit. Wow. And I pray this, next section, I pray that you've been rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp, let me read this again. And I pray that you be rooted and established in love. Wow, it's a place to start. The love of God, being in the love of God and the love for other people and knowing God as work of his Spirit in your inner being. So I pray that being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Wow. Have I got that? I have. Do I know the full extent of his love? No. Love of Christ. I went to a funeral this week in Yorkshire. It was an uncle, and he's not a believer really, as far as I know. And I went to this funeral, and I kind of thinking, God, what do I do? And I'd got a card that I wrote before, kind of a week before, to say, kind of send them my love. And I said, God, what do I write? So I prayed and I wrote something and I put it in an envelope and sent it. And my auntie was kind of overwhelmed by the love of God. And in the funeral service, with lots of people there, a crowded place, she said, this card came from my nephew and I'd like to read it because it's meant so much to me in these last few days. And I'm thinking, I can't do that stuff, but God can. God can and God will. And it's not by me. I kind of got this blank card. I'm no poet. And I'm thinking, God, I don't want to write in this card. Will you give me something to write? And I'm writing it down. And it was ready the service. And I was a mess of blubber on the seat. That God would restore something remarkable in that family. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Wow. Surpasses knowledge. There is something about my head putting limits around God's love. My understanding, my rationale, my experience that says this isn't possible. How wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ? To know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. I was thinking about what it says here, I need before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I was thinking what it is to be a family, and the Bible doesn't kind of mess about with this. It talks about brothers and sisters and taking people into our families and loving and caring and moving stuff and have people come and live with us and share our lives and do family different to the way the world does family. I think it's important that we love our own families, and the Bible's very clear about honouring our parents. It's really important. But I've seen more people come to Christ by living in our house than anything else. And I'm not saying our house is particularly massively righteous place, but actually expanding who you see as family is what God wants. There is a tendency to take my own nuclear family, and if I'm not careful, worship them above the Lord. Do you ever see that? Maybe. Maybe. Now to him, this is verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is worked within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. It's so hard when we're holding things in one hand, we're seeking God with stuff that's not happening, to then see that we can hold that in faith in Jesus Christ and to believe that he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Wow. But we need God to speak into our hearts, to trust him, to take on the mantle of our calling, to pick up that which he's given us and to walk with it in faith, believing he can do more than we can our knowledge can prepare us for and more than we can ask or imagine, because his love for us is beyond measure and his grace is bountiful. Amen.
Amen.
To him who is able to do immeasurably more that we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Wow. To him be glory in the church forever. So, to start the new year, I want us to pick up. There are times to take cloaks off, and there are times to pick them up. But God's call in our lives and God's call in our church is remarkable. We limit it by our thinking and our mind. We need to know God's grace and that he can do more than we can ask or imagine by his work in our lives. Can we pray together? And Colin's going to lead us. Lord, we come to you in this time of year and we kneel before you, our Father. And we say, Lord, let your heart become my heart. Lord, let me know the immeasurable love and the bountiful grace, and that you are a God who does immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Lord, we look at this stuff and we think, how is that possible? But Lord, I thank you for your bountiful grace and the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives and around us. Lord, we give you glory in this church. We give you glory. Lord, would you presence yourself in a way that we've not experienced, that's beyond our imaginations, that we might praise you. And you would find us a place and a people that bring joy to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.